another. Yeah. The third thing I want to mention, look at verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it.
Right.
Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Mm. You know what I believe this tells us? Not only did God set the body together as He did so that we might have unity, and I don't even remember what the second one was. I already forgot that quick. God, help me tonight. Care one for another. Excuse me. Not only can we have unity and care one for another as we ought to, but I believe thirdly, so we can have harmony.
Right.
You said, you already said unity. I believe you can have unity without harmony. I believe this church can be united in purpose without truly being in harmony with each other. Me and my wife are united in marriage, but it's not always harmony. You take two cats and tie their tail together and hang them over a clothesline, you got unity, but you don't have harmony.
Try. Right.
I got to thinking about harmony today. I even looked up a video about, I got to get me some tuning forks. You take a tuning fork, if they're in the same key or pitch or whatever the word is, I'm not a musical man.
Me either, amen.
You can take one of them and strike it, and the other one will start resonating. You know why? Because they're in tune. If two saints of God, two members of the body, are in harmony, in tune, if you will, when one gets struck, the other will resonate.
Amen.
Because good. They're in tune.
Good. Right.
I'd love to be able to demonstrate that. When one is hurting, the other is resonating because they're in tune. They're in harmony.
Amen.
I wonder tonight, are you in tune with each other? Are you in tune with the pastor? Can I just stop a minute and say, pastoring is not an easy job.
That's right.
I mean, it just goes back to what I said a minute ago. You can't please everybody. I set the temperature at the church on the wall. And you got some bringing in quilts and blankets, and then you got others bringing in fans. And I, right there's one of them.
Brother, don't turn that up.
That's such a simple illustration. But there's no way. I just try to hit a happy medium.
That's right.
I can't make everybody happy. You understand that? Now I want to tell you something. The hardest thing to me as a pastor to do is to preach the truth to people when I know they're guilty of it. That's not easy. People always laugh when I say this, but try to stay with what I'm trying to say. When I know that they know that I know they're guilty, that's hard. I'm not trying to be funny, but did you get what I said? When I'm trying to preach something and I know that they know I know they're guilty, that's tough. I can't tell you at the services that I've got walked out of that pulpit, and I've had people walk out that door, and I thought it to myself, and I worried myself sick for a day or two wondering, did I offend them? Because I knew they knew that I knew that they were guilty. I said, preacher, why would you do that? Because I love them.
Right, amen. Yes, sir.
And if you love them, you're going to tell them the truth. Even if they don't like it.
That's right.
Do you think that's easy? As a pastor, I want to have as many in church as I can. And here is the thing, it's constantly a battle. It's a constant pressure on the preacher to not say it, to not hold the line, to not hold the standard. There's a constant pressure to compromise. It's always there. I've been pastoring in October the 1st. It will be 24 years I have completed. And from day one till this day, in fact, I probably feel the pressure more today than I did back then. Back then, I didn't have a family. Back then, I mean, I had a wife, but I didn't have children. Back then, I'd just preach, and if they sent me up the road, I'd just go up the road. And I told them that.
That's right.
I've mellowed out some since then. Maybe I've got a little wiser since then. I try to say it a little kind now. She's over here saying, I'll try. But I'm telling you, at that day, I remember telling them, I said, listen, you may not like this and you may send me up the road, but if you do, I'll go up the road with peace in my heart that I tried my best to tell you what God has to say to you.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And that's not an easy thing to do. You know why? Because you love your people. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to get them upset at you. I mean, who? I am not a confrontational person. I hate confrontation. Amen. I'll do everything I can not to have to talk to somebody. But I mean, sometimes they just make you. Sometimes, I mean, you got standards, and thank God for some standards.
Amen.
People everywhere are dropping their standards.
Right.
Standards are biblical. I don't know how long I'm going to preach tonight. God have mercy.
Keep going.
Let me tell you something. Every single church that's ever been together, as far as I know, has some standard.
Yes.
They are not going to let you. Let's talk about dress standards. You said, oh no, preacher.
Amen. Go ahead.
As far as I know, there's not a church in America that's going to let people come in naked. So they have a standard. They down us for having a standard, but they have a standard. So now the question is, they got a standard, so now where are we going? They got a line, so where are we going to draw? Where are we going to put the line? That's the question.
Right.
I'm not here to set any kind of standard for you. But I tell you what, that book has some standards.
Right.
And I'm not setting the standards for this church because I'm not the pastor of this church. You don't know what my standards are, I'll tell you, but I ain't telling you now. But we got to draw the line somewhere, and we got to say that God expects some things out of His children, and here's the line, and we're not going behind that line.
Right. Right.
And then we got people, and I do too, and here's the line, and I mean they walk as tight on that line as they can.
You got it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll get off the line. And I'll get in the pulpit. I don't hardly ever do this while I'm preaching. I'm afraid to. You get in a big way of preaching, you'll have to say something you ought not say. I'm just being honest. So I do it during announcements. I mean, I preach hard when I'm preaching. Don't misunderstand me. But I mean during announcements. If I got something to say, I'll say it during announcements. I'll say, by the way. Yeah. I'll say, by the way, we got an issue here. And then I'll address it. And I might do that a couple of weeks. And if it don't take care of itself, I'll say, God, please, please let them do it. Please, please, Lord. And the devil says, you better not, you better not, you better not. The point I'm trying to make is, pastoring is a tough thing. It's hard to do that. But you do it because you're not a hireling. You stand for what's right because you believe it's right and God's put it in your heart, and you know that one of these days you're going to stand before Him. But sometimes people don't understand. They've never walked where the preachers walked. They've never experienced. And a lot of times we know what's going on behind the scenes and the crowd don't. And we can't tell. I've had people leave my church and I wanted to tell. I mean, it looked bad on my part. I wanted to defend myself. But the Lord wouldn't let me. But it all came out in the wash. And it always does. So, you got to understand, as a member of the body, and especially as the under-shepherd, He is important. He needs the body, just like you need the body. And you need to be in tune with each other, and you need to be in tune with your preacher. If he's hurting, you need to hurt with him. And when you're hurting, he needs to hurt with you. And if he's rejoicing, you ought to be rejoicing with him. If he's got burdens you can help him bear, you ought to, just like you would anybody else.
That's right.
That's the only way the church can function at full capacity. That's the only way.
Amen.
Do you think, now my body don't function at the capacity it did when I was 20. It don't. Because it's getting old. But the spiritual body don't get old in that sense. If every part does its part, the body functions at full capacity. What would happen to one congregation? You say, preacher, there's only a few of us. It don't matter. You make up the body.
Right.
And if every single member of this body, I got to thinking about this. Let's say you take my hand, for instance. And you cut one of my fingers off. I don't know how I can do this. I ain't know if I'm coordinated enough. All right, I can function. I'm going to be hindered, right, just by losing my little pinky. I'm going to be hindered. But I can still work pretty good with four. But what if I had only two left? And I lost one of them. What I got to thinking about as I was meditating on this today, you're few in number, comparatively speaking, which means you're that much more important than if there were 1,000 here.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not in your place,
that's right.
It's obvious.
That's right.
If there was 1,000 and there wasn't one of you wasn't here, it wouldn't be so obvious. And I know what a preacher goes through. I come in, and if I got 15 that's out, I'm wondering where them 15 are. I'm not worried about the 130 that's there. I'm worried about the 15 that ain't there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, they need to be here. Why are they not here? Do they not know where their kids are headed? Do they not know what's going on? Do they not know what's happening in their life? Can they not see that they're slipping? Can they not see the cost? Do they not understand they're members of the body? And when you start putting members of the body and taking, I mean, what if my arm took a break tonight? The body is hindered. I'm trying to tell you that passage of Scripture tells me that every single person that's a part of this body is very important. You are necessary.
That's right.
Amen.
Your spiritual life is critical to the function of this body. If you're sick, the body is affected. If you're spiritually sick, the body is affected.
Yes.
You go stump your toe in the living room and see how, you say, oh, it's just a little toe. Well, let's see what the rest of your body does. Yeah, your whole body will be in convulsions. The devil's got some of you convinced you don't matter. It doesn't matter. You're just one. What does it matter? What it matters is the body can't function at full capacity.
Right.
It breaks the Lord's heart. It breaks the pastor's heart. I'll tell you what, you get a man that stands and studies and cares, and I believe you've got one. I have been around enough to know that they are few and far between in this day and hour. And we are losing them every day. One of my heroes in the faith, about 5:30 Wednesday evening, graduated to glory. And there's not many left. You better value what you have.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be sitting on the pew, God is my witness. I'd rather be sitting on the pews of Faith Baptist Church in Chester than the largest compromising church that's ever been on the face of the earth.
Amen. Amen.
I'd rather stand with the few than bow with the multitude.
Amen.
I'd rather raise my girls where they can hear the old songs of Zion out of them sweet hymnals.
Amen.
Than to hear something like the old service stations, them 7-Elevens they used to have.
Amen. Right.
7 words and they sing it 11 times.
Amen. Right. Right.
I'm serious.
Right.
I'm so serious. It makes a difference, the impact they have on those young people. It's so serious. I'm talking about harmony. Don't get offended. Even if your pastor gets in the flesh, don't get offended. You get in the flesh. I've been in the flesh before. Too many times. I've said things preaching I shouldn't have said. Or I've said some things I should have said, I just should have said them in a better way. I said them with an attitude instead of a sweet spirit that I should have said it in. You get in the flesh, you get upset, you get angry, you make mistakes. And then you got people that come in. I'm trying to hurry. You got people that come in, and here's what I do before anybody joins our church. I let them read our Constitution and bylaws. I let them sit there a while. I had one guy not too long ago. I bet you 3 times he came to me over a period of a couple months. He said, I want to join church. I said, mm-mm. I said, nope.
Right.
You not been here. You not been faithful. You know, you just ain't in yet. I don't know how I worded it, but I said no. And I don't normally do that. I don't want just anything joining our church. I'm not interested in a number. I got a couple now that's been coming, and I talked to them not too long ago, and I said, I'll never pressure you to join this church. And I'll never do anything to try to keep you or get you to join this church. If God don't send you here, I don't want you here.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't. I'd rather have a sweet fellowship with the presence of God and the power of God than have some old devil slip in on me that's going to split and blow everything up and hurt my youngins.
Amen.
Not my young, I'm talking about all of our youngins.
That's right.
You understand that? That's important. He's got a big responsibility on his shoulders. He's going to give an account for that one of these days. Don't get offended. You know what the Bible says? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Think about this. When they were stoning Stephen, people get offended over something a preacher says, and what he's saying is the truth, and they get offended at it, and they're ready to pack up and leave and stone him and everything else. Think about Stephen. They were stoning him. Stoning him. They didn't just smack him upside the head. I doubt very many of you are spiritual enough to handle me smacking you upside the head tonight. And I'm not that spiritual either. So, don't be smacking me and I ain't going to smack you. Because I'm still in the flesh too. I'd like to be like that though.
Yeah.
I believe Stephen was. They were stoning him. And he basically said the same thing Jesus did on the cross. Forgive them.
Amen.
They don't even know what they're doing.
Amen.
But the preacher can say something that offends people. And they hit the road. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, even stoning, and nothing shall offend them. He ought to be able to get in this pulpit and preach that book as straight and as strong as it is. And you ought to say, thank God for a man that loves me and my family enough to tell me the truth.
Amen.
I'm talking about harmony. But you know what? John said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have a love one to another.
Amen.
But too often in the church, when one member suffers, we think little of it. We might breathe a quick prayer for him once or twice, but we should be so far from that we actually suffer with them.
Right.
I wonder today, who in this congregation is hurting? Who has a prodigal son or daughter that's tearing your heart out? I wonder who's helped them bear the burden in prayer. I wonder who's got cold and calloused and carnal. I wonder if you've entered into the throne room on their behalf. Who has an addiction they can't seem to break? Who's so discouraged that they feel like quitting? I wonder who's come alongside them to try to help them and suffer alongside them. What soldier has been wounded in battle and we've not tried to patch him up and help him along the way, get him up and get him going again?
Yes,
Lord. Don't you realize the health of this church, this body, affects you?
Amen.
Yeah.
It's directly related to the health of its members. If one member is wounded, it directly affects you because you're part of the body. I know you're busy. We're all busy. But if you got a serious wound, you'd stop whatever you were doing to try to bandage it up. You'd try to clean it out. Because if you didn't, you'd bleed to death. But I wonder if one person in here got a serious wound, would you take time to stop and bandage it up? Because you know the health of that person affects the body that I'm part of. I've witnessed people getting infected and the infection spreading. You better try to get the infection out. When somebody gets wounded and they get infected, you have to medicate them. This right here is good medication. It's a cleansing agent.
Right.
But if that doesn't work, you have to amputate them. I've seen some amputate themselves. But the body can function after that, but not at full capacity. If you're missing a limb, a digit, you are not functioning at full capacity. He said, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. God set the body up that we rejoice together. If somebody gets a new car, don't be jealous. Rejoice with them.
Amen.
Some lady comes in with a new dress every single week and you can't afford it, you ought to say, thank God, I'm glad somebody can afford it. It's true.
Amen.
You ought to rejoice with them. That's it. That's harmony. That's being in tune. Would you rejoice over anybody getting honored as much as you would yourself? I wonder what would happen with a church that would get hold of these truths and truly function at full capacity. Every single member pulled its weight, did what it ought to do, witnessed, invited, prayed. I wonder what would happen. I think you could spell it like this: REVIVAL.
Amen.
Three main truths, and I'm done. I have no idea how long I've been preaching. Are you loving one another as you should? His love lifted me. Has your love lifted anybody? Are you suffering together? Are you rejoicing together? Secondly, do you realize that everybody here is important? Everyone is. And thirdly, do you realize you're important? Some people just need to get right with God.
Yes, Lord.
And quit hindering the body.
Yes,
They need to get busy and quit hindering the body. They need to pull their own weight and quit hindering the body. Don't be dead weight. One of these days we're all going to give an account. And I want you to know, even when you're not here, the body is suffering. If every person here would be absolutely surrendered to God and just do their job, this church would be a powerhouse for God. Because God has set you here as it has pleased Him.
Amen.
He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
God fitly frames the body together with various parts to make a whole body capable of doing His will. And I believe revival has occurred when every part is doing its job to full capacity.
Amen.
You are making a difference one way or the other.
Right. That's true.
And I believe there's some people that only you can win.
Right.
There's people in your family that you can invite to come. You can win them to Christ. There's people in your community that only you can. Nobody else has the connection except you. And you can win them to Christ. I'd hate to go to heaven one of these days having never won a soul to Christ.
Yes, that's right.
Have you ever won a soul to Christ?
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Have you ever won one?
Right. Yes.
What if everybody in here in the next year just won one? Just one. Functioning, that might not even be full capacity. But you started functioning to that capacity, you'd double in a year. And then what if that happened with that double-sized crowd? You'd quadruple, if I'm my math right, in another year. Just one. Just one soul that you're investing in, that you're praying over, that you're weeping about, that you're concerned about, that you get on the phone with, that you stay after them. And you love them and win them to Christ. Amen. Just one.
Amen. Yes.
I'm just preaching on functioning at full capacity. Let's stand to our feet.